Hey there, this is Terry Cowley, weekday breakfast presenter on 1FM Shepparton. Thanks for checking out this podcast. It was recorded live as part of the Brekkie Show, which you can catch 6 to 9am Monday to Friday.
Now it's time to drop around to Cozzy's Corner.
And it's a very good morning to Mr. Roman Coz. Hello, Roman.
Oh, good morning, Terry, and good morning to our listeners. I hope everybody's going to have a great day today. So it looks a little bit murky outside at the moment, but we'll hope it improves, eh?
Absolutely.
Right, I'm going to be talking to you about one of my favourite films called The Sting, which came out in 1973, starring Paul Newman as Henry Gorndorf, Robert Redford as Johnny Hooker, and Robert Shaw as Doyle Lonergan. Now, it was set in 1936, just after the Depression started, and it's about two professional con men who are out to con the mobster Robert Shaw. Now, what had happened previously is that a couple of good friends of Robert Redford's character accidentally got hold of some of Robert Shaw's money, and Robert Shaw had them murdered, so the con was on to get some money off Robert Shaw. The film was terrific in that it rejoined Newman and Redford, who, of course, had great success 4 years earlier with Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Now, the film The Sting is based on a real-life story of a 1940 book called The Big Con, The Story of Confidence Men. And it's about two brothers, the Gorndorf brothers, who conned their way around the USA at the time. The film has sections split by title cards, which is very unusual. You rarely see this in films, where all of a sudden a card comes up and tells you what the next bit of the film's about. And the film also used ragtime music. Now, I had to look up ragtime music because I wasn't really sure what it was about, but it was very popular in the 1890s and up to about the mid-1920s. And it's music that has little breaks in it. It's not a steady rhythm. It's not a normal flow of music, and it has sort of time intervals.
Alexander's Ragtime Band.
Yeah, there's all sorts of those types of songs, yeah, and there's one particular very, very popular one at the time by Scott Joplin. 1902, he had this particular song, Terry, The Entertainer, and The Entertainer became a very big hit out of the soundtrack of this particular film and became a top 10 hit for Marvin Hamlisch when he released it as a single, so did very well there. The film itself was nominated for 10 Academy Awards and won 7. Robert Redford was nominated as Best Actor but didn't make it, but it certainly won Best Picture, Best Director, Best Writing, amongst others. The Best Writing one was a little bit interesting. I read that the guy who won the Best Writing Award, David Ward, he must have read the book and was very keen on writing the screenplay for it, because he'd been studying pickpockets. Now, why someone would study pickpockets is beyond me. Perhaps a new career move or perhaps there was some sort of film, and he really was enamoured by the story and wanted to do this, and of course ended up winning an Academy Award for the best writing. I can't tell you too much about the film, Terry, because there's several twists and turns and a very, very elaborate process of relieving Robert Shaw of about $500,000, and it all revolves around a horse race result. Have you seen the film, Terry?
I reckon I have, but I would have been very young. I certainly was brought up on that music.
Yeah, look, it's well worth revisiting. It's just a fabulous film, really fabulous film.
Well, anything with Newman and Redford, what a pair they were.
Yes, very good, weren't they? Very successful. Well, speaking about the cast, Paul Newman, he started his career in 1954 in a film called The Silver Chalice. And he was nominated for Golden Globe Award, the very first film, not a bad effort, but he hated the film, called it the worst film of the 1950s. And in 1966, when it was put on US TV, he actually put an ad in the trade papers and apologised to the viewers how bad the film was going to be. So naturally, the film was a success because everybody watched it. It had huge ratings, but he loathed the film. If you type it in on Google, you'll see he's sort of dressed in those, like a toga type of thing. I don't think he fancied himself that way. I noticed in the cast list that Lorne Greene, who played Ben Cartwright in Bonanza just a few years later, about 5 years later, played St. Peter in that particular film. So that must have been one of Lorne Greene's first films too.
I remember Lorne Greene from Battlestar Galactica.
Yes, that's more your era, isn't it? Yes, so he was actually quite a famous broadcaster just around wartime In Canada, Lorne Greene, he was very, very well known for his ability to read news, etc., and his magnificent voice, of course.
He was very good at gardening as well.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. That's a joke, Lorne Greene. Okay, moving right along.
Moving right along, Terry. Of course, Paul Newman really started kicking goals with a film called Somebody Up There Likes Me the following year, where he played the boxer Rocky Graziano, and of course we all know what happened to his career. Married Joanne Woodward in 1958, and they were together forever. He died in 2008 at the age of 83. Robert Redford, he was born Charles Redford 85 years ago. He's still with us. Legend of the film world. He made his film debut in 1962. He always wanted to be a director, and the very first film he directed was a film called Ordinary People, way back in 1980, and that starred Mary Tyler Moore, Tim Hutton as her troubled son, and Donald Sutherland, and it won four Oscars and it won the Best Picture Award. Not a bad effort for your first direction, Terry.
No,
pretty good effort. Just a few years before that, 1976, he helped found the Sundance Film Festival, which he created for independent filmmakers, for people who just didn't have any connection to major movie studios, and that's been a huge success over the years. Robert Shaw, he was born in Lancashire, UK. He first became famous in 1958 for a TV series called The Buccaneers, that some of the golden oldies might remember, but became more prominent with From Russia Was Love in 1963, which led to The Sting a little bit later, and a few years later. And, of course, he's best known as the shark-hunting obsessed Quint in that frightening film Jaws, and just a couple of years after The Sting was made. Amazingly, he died very young at the age of 51, just 3 years after Jaws, quite young. The other actor in the film that some people would remember in The Sting was Ray Walston, who played the Martian in the TV series My Favourite Martian, and he also had a terrific role in the film, one of my other favourite films, Paint Your Wagon, opposite Clint Eastwood, who I read the other day is 91, Terry.
And still working, yes.
And still going. He's been going. Like, I remember him. I think he had his first film in 1956 called Revenge of the Creature, or some title like that. So he's been around a long time. And, of course, Lee Marvin was in that film. Terry, this film, The Sting, I would recommend it to anybody. If you haven't seen it for a while, we'll hunt it up, should hunt it up on YouTube and have a bit of a look. You've got a marvellous piece of music from us for it?
Yes, I do.
Well, play it, and I'll catch up with you guys on Wednesday.
Thank you, Roman.
All right, see ya.
You've been listening to a 1FM podcast.